Hey folks, I'm Craig Lipinski.
I'm Seth Gastelum.
And this is episode 121 of the TV and Less video game podcast from TVandLess.net. And today we have no Chris because he said he had housework to do.
What?
Yeah, I think Chris has poor time management skills is what it is.
I think Chris didn't play anything but Toki Tori 2 again, and he just didn't have anything to talk about.
Right. Well, that's okay, because today we have a friend and listener of the show. We have Hugh from New Zealand. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Hello.
Hugh is actually friends with a previous guest we had. He's friends with Ryan, and the two met on the TNS forums. This is a match made in heaven.
Sounds like a dating site now that you put it that.
So Hugh,
Al, this, I thought they were the same person. This is not having the same guest back.
No,
I'm the other New Zealander. Yeah.
Oh,
actually,
right.
Was there a third person who like reached out on the comments or something and said, "I'm from New Zealand too," or something?
There was the third and final person in New Zealand also listens to this show.
Yeah, wow.
I think it's about 10% of your entire population.
I think so. When you do the math. 10%.
If you're not counting livestock, if you are counting livestock though, it's about 0.01%.
There's a lot of sheep here.
Yeah,
I was buying dish soap yesterday, and there's dish soap that was sent to like New Zealand. So I asked Ryan if you guys had like American scented dish soap, and he's like, yeah, it smells like hamburgers and self-loathing.
I didn't see that.
What does New Zealand smell like?
Well, you get used to it when,
you get used to it. It smells like New Jersey, but it's not so bad.
I don't know. I don't know. When I go to other places, I don't smell any different, so I can't imagine it smells too different from...
When you come back home, though, is really when you notice the smell.
Oh, and it hits you, and you're like, whoa!
This just smells like dishes in here.
It smells like, lemon-scented... Yes.
I guess there's just this idea that it smells like spring meadows or something.
Yeah, it'll probably just be to do with, like, the whole nature thing. Green New Zealand?
They try to sell, like, Irish-scented stuff like that already.
Basically everywhere but America.
Is New Zealand getting in on, like, the we smell like fresh spring daisies crap going on?
Yeah, they must be locking into that market, yeah.
We're pretty geographically diverse here in North America. I don't know why they're not. I don't know why it isn't, you know, like, smells like Colorado prairies or something. Like, why? Like, I guess New Zealand is exotic to America.
Yeah, probably. But no one would think, like, oh, New Zealand, what state's that? I guess, maybe it's just a exciting thing, like, ooh.
I'm never going to New Zealand, but my dishes can smell like them. Right on. So, this week, Emma and I blasted through the fourth season of Arrested Development in a single sitting, as I'm sure a lot of other people did. Do you have a method of watching that, Hugh? Do you guys have, like, Netflix, or...?
I don't really watch TV, so, no.
They have three channels in New Zealand anyway, so...
They just have reruns of Max Headroom on all three of them.
what were we going to say?
I was going to ask Seth if he caught Arrested Development.
Oh, sorry.
I am like 9 or 10 episodes into the new season, so I think I still have like 5 left.
Yeah, so yeah, it's 15 of them. Mm-hmm. It was pretty surreal watch. It's, you know, obviously Arrested Development, its content is surreal, but it's just surreal in general watching. I don't think it was, I don't think it was as good as the initial run. Maybe because, like, everyone's more self-aware now. Like, the show is more self-aware that it is a cult favorite. Because no one gave a fuck about the show while it was airing. So, like,
I think it had a lot of that self-aware cult following humor in the third season.
Well, yeah, once it got towards the third season, they started playing up, like, Burger King references and being canceled and stuff. They did a little bit, right. But it seemed full force. It just seemed like everyone, the viewers, the actors, the writers, everyone was more aware that, you know, maybe this is, I don't know, more important, I guess. I don't really know how to phrase that, but, so some of that, like, sort of unassuming charm, I feel like it was gone. But, largely, it's Arrested Development. I mean, there's, you know, background gags, running jokes, and, you know, things that become more apparent as you watch or on repeated viewings because the timeline is all broken up.
The timeline's crazy broken up in this one.
And this one, yeah, they really went balls to the wall breaking up the timeline and doing different perspectives and stuff. You know, and then it starts coming full circle. But, I mean, I enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I've been liking it so far.
Yeah.
I like, caught a couple episodes a second time as I, like, caught my sister watching some episodes that I had already watched, and there was already stuff, like, I had missed the first time around.
Right. Yeah, no, it's pretty good. Almost everyone looks exactly the same.
Lindsay looks different.
Lindsay, well, yeah. Lindsay looks a little bit different. Is it Portia de Rossi? She looks a little
Portia. Yeah.
Her eyes look a little bit different. But have you seen Steve Holt yet?
I did see Steve Holt.
That's mostly makeup, actually.
That like, is like, definitely whoa. Makeup. That's yeah. like some Back to the Future 2 quality makeup going
right,
on right
yeah.
there.
Everyone's like, whoa, Steve Holt. And I'm like, yeah, Steve Holt doesn't look like that. my 360 also died this week. This is my third one.
Cool. And,
I want to. I'm so
it's
mad.
Come full circle.
Yeah. Yeah, it's I'm actually really angry. I'm laughing at it, but it sucks. Because, yeah, my first one got the Red Ring of Death. My second one got weird, like, disk drive errors, which were not as common as Red Ring of Death, but they weren't unheard of either. This one has boot problems, because I was actually... the Microsoft Online Store was doing this weird thing where if you use this checkout code, you got 1,200 points for, like, $5. So I'm like, yeah, I'll take three of those.
I bought 16 of those.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You're a disgusting human being.
I got $240 worth of Microsoft points for $80.
Yeah, no, that's gross, because it tells you this is a limited code. Like,
does
only
it?
Enough. You went in. You're the motherfucker who goes to sales and buys them and then resells them on eBay.
There were like, first of all, there were tons of different codes you could use, and I only had to enter it once. Like every time I went back in a checkout, like it remembered
it
I already
did.
Used
it did,
put the
yeah.
code in. So.
But I bought three of them because I'm not a greedy fuck. And then I entered them in, and I start downloading. I'm downloading Blood Dragon and Gianna Sisters, and then the 360 like locks up. It freezes. And then I can't remember whether I powered it down or it powered itself down. But then it wouldn't come back. The power brick looks fine. Like, all of my connections are fine. I even swapped. I have another, because this is not my first time around the fucking wagon here. I have another power brick and AV cables. I even swapped those out. But the green light comes on the front of the 360, but the little ring doesn't circle around. The controller doesn't sync. I can power it on from the controller, but and then the controller just starts flipping out because it won't sync. Because it's not booting. It turns on, but it won't boot. And that can... I mean, I Googled it, and it happens. And some people have solved it because there's, like, a loose connection with the power supply. Nope. Sometimes it, like, loses your AV settings, and it won't boot unless you have the appropriate AV settings paired with your TV. That's not my problem. It's... Yeah, it's just not... I mean, and the fact that it locked up, obviously... shows that there's a problem there. So, I gotta buy a new one, but doing it before the fall would seem really stupid because there's going to be sales. There's probably gonna be a price drop with X-Boner coming out, so...
Pace away, yeah.
It seems really foolish to buy one now as much as I would love to.
Did you have a Slim, or...
No, this is... I got this, like, 2009 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So
I had the AV problems you were talking about because my HDMI port died on my 360, so I just have to use Component now.
See, I'm using Component. I don't even have an HDMI port on mine.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah, but I had the problem where like it wouldn't even do the, you know, how the lights do a little like twirl. No, it wouldn't even do that. So.
Yeah, I mean, there's a way to manually reset them. Something like you pull one of the triggers and press Y on boot up or something like that, but...
Nothing with that, then.
It doesn't really help because my controller's not pairing.
Oh, right, of course. Oh,
so good. Yeah, the whole thing's just borked. So I had to switch over. I got Remember Me is coming out time of this recording. Comes out in like 2 days. I'm really excited for that game. I had to switch it over to fucking PlayStation 3.
You sound remorseful.
A little bit. And that I've been debating. Like, I don't know, like... I've been thinking about, like, well, maybe I should just get a bigger hard drive for that and solve at least some of my grievances with it. But then I'm like, well, it's one of those older 60 gig models, and they you know, they're not Red Ring of Death prone to dying, but they do die occasionally. So it's like, do I go out and spend the money on the hard drive and then run the risk of it dying later anyway? I don't know.
Yeah, Murphy's Law would dictate it would just die as soon as you put the thing in.
That's what I feel.
You're just surrounded by death, Craig.
I am. I don't know what it is about this generation where, like, I mean, as a side tangent, you know, I put up that video about the Ouya the other day, and of course, you always get these fucking dude bro dickheads coming. He's like, what, people can't afford a PS3 or 360? Little kids gotta buy this system? I'm like, sorry, it doesn't have Call of Duty, dude. But I'm just like, I'm sitting here thinking, like, actually, that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, because, no, some people can afford a 360 or PS3. Like, this hobby's never been cheap, to be fair, but we've gotten to a point where, like, you don't need super expensive hardware to play great games, and it keeps becoming prohibitively expensive, because then you got people like Microsoft cramming in a bunch of shit nobody wants, and it just keeps getting more and more expensive. Game budgets keep going up and up, so games are more and more expensive. And then you got these newer systems that just keep fucking dying, or they give you a 60 gig hard drive. You're like, just kidding, every game requires a 5 gig install, so go out and buy something else. Who the fuck?
Yeah, that wasn't very good foresight, no.
I'm in a pretty decent position. I can keep up with most of this, but a lot of people can, so, you know, it's this hobby doesn't need to be a rich person's hobby like this, but it is. It is. I can't imagine. Who the fuck wants to buy a 4360? I can't imagine anybody wants to do that.
You know, right after you tweeted about your 360 dying, Craig, I went to turn mine on, and it wasn't powering on, and I started freaking out. And, everything was connected, but I just disassembled. I unplugged all the wires and plugged everything back in and then turned on fine. I was like, oh, thank God.
Oof. Yeah, no. I'm pretty sure. I've tried everything. You know, like I said, separate cables, like everything. It's just not booting, so. Womp,
womp. So have you called, like, customer support or anything?
I'm not even bothering with those motherfuckers. They're going to have me poking, like, and, you know, I even tweeted about it, and I got people tweeting at me, and they're just trying to be helpful. Like, I get it. Like, Leigh Alexander wrote an article about that had something about this in it, but, you know, people are tweeting me, oh, did you try unplugging and leaving it unplugged? And I'm like, dude, I work in IT. That was, like, the first fucking thing I did. Like, thank you for being helpful. I really appreciate it, but, man, I'm not stupid. Like, yes, I tried that, yes. I did.
It's been running all this time, so I think I know how to put a cable in here.
Right, right. Did you try turning it off and turning it back on? Yeah.
I can't stand calling Microsoft customer service anyway. Because you just get people reading stuff off a sheet.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to get that same exact shit once I go on, and it's like...
And then if you, like, need any, like, actual help, they have to, like, escalate it to their supervisors or whatever, and it's just a whole hassle.
It is. It's a pain in the ass. It absolutely is. And then I had a wedding yesterday. My best friend, Andy, got married. So I was in the wedding party for that. And that was a lot of fun. I got free booze and a prime rib dinner out of the deal.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Cool.
Prime rib sounds... Is it prime rib on the bone? I have no idea.
No, I'm pretty sure there's no bone. I've never had prime rib with bone. Maybe some... I don't know. Maybe somebody said I don't know.
I have no idea. When I think ribs, I think ribs. So
no, that's a good point.
It's a big old cut of meat.
Yeah, it's a big, like, really tender, juicy cut of meat. It's fucking delicious. It was great. And, I got super sunburned, too. Like I said, I did a bunch of shit this week. I hung out by the pool, and I got fucking... I baked in the sun. It's a bad idea, but... good week. How about you, Seth? What have you been up to?
Not weddings, not baking pools. I've been working on a little more on that game my friend and I are working on.
Oh, yes.
And he has a character up and moving around in an engine, sort of. And, you know, like, walls stop it now. It's not clipping through walls anymore, so that's good. But I've come to realize that animation is kind of hard when you're working it into a game specifically. Because you want the controls to be, like, as fluid as possible. Like, as soon as you jump, you want the character to be jumping. But when you do, like, a normal traditional jumping animation, there's, like, a whole wind-up thing, like, crouch down and then spring back up. But that just doesn't work in the game because you wanted to jump as soon as you hit that damn button.
Oh.
You don't want any delay in there. So you got to, like, actually make the jump look good. Like, it's really hard to make a good-looking jumping animation without that whole like wind up thing to slow down the process. So it's kind of learning experience here, working animation into gameplay.
So
is that a matter of like cutting out frames or something, or what have you got to do to like sort of
sounds like he's make cutting it out as... whole actions like
yeah.
Basically want the character up in the air as soon as the button hits, and you just got to make it like look realistic. You got to make it look good without that whole beginning startup, that crouch down. So it's just hard. It's a hard workaround. You got to make stuff look good without it actually being there, I guess.
Yeah. The things we take for granted.
Yep. Yep. And then like some of the games that do have really good animation, like the older Prince of Persia, the 2D ones, those just have like huge button delays between like when you actually press something and when it happens. That's the other route that you could take, but I'm not doing that shit. I hate the controls in those old Prince of Persia games.
Okay, so it's not a Prince of Persia clone. We're narrowing it down slowly.
It's not going to be an impressive game. It's really just a test to get everything. Just, hey, can we do this? And I'm really glad my friend Brian is handling the program, because I have no idea what the hell he's talking about like half the time. Like, right, we had a problem where like, because there's a ledge grab move where you could grab a ledge and climb up, and like right now there's a problem where even if you could jump onto the platform without and you don't need a ledge grab, like the character's still ledge grabbing right there. So I'm like, can't you just like program which like ledges one by one? He's like, no, there's got to be like an overarching variable, blah blah blah. I'm like, okay, whatever, you handle that shit.
So that sounds hard.
Yep,
it does.
But he has programming knowledge, so he's handling all that stuff.
Sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm. I think that's all I've been up to, really.
Wow, sounds exciting. What about you, Hugh?
Very little. It's coming down to the end of the semester at uni, so I've got a lot of like assignments and tests and stuff that I'm having to be ready myself for. And I'm just, you know, leaving it to the last minute, so...
Oh, of course. You wouldn't be a university student if you didn't.
Well, yeah, but I'm also depriving, like, playing video games and stuff as well, so...
So what are you filling your days with?
Just aimlessly wandering around the internet going, what can I do? What can I do?
Wow.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. Whenever a game comes in the mail, I'm like, well, I'll try it out for, like, half an hour. That can't hurt. And then...
We'll get around to this later.
Oh, yeah, sorry, no, I wasn't gonna, like, dive right into the games we've been playing right now, of course, but yeah, no, very little, unfortunately.
What, you said it was a holiday right now over there, what holiday is it?
Yeah, Queen's Birthday?
Huh.
Yep.
So it's is that like a Lord of, is that like an elf queen from Lord of the Rings, or is that like the British queen?
It's the British Queen, yeah.
Okay. Does that change with each queen? Like when she dies and there's a new queen, is there a new Queen's Birthday holiday?
I literally didn't even know there was going to be a
Elizabeth
holiday.
Queen Elizabeth has been queen for like what, like 60 years? Like when was the last time that would have happened?
I don't know. Well, I figured he should know.
Yeah, no, I didn't really know there was going to be a holiday until like the week before, so I was just like, cool, I'll take this holiday. Thank you.
Right on. Hmm. That sounds pretty exciting.
I want a president's birthday. I don't even know when Barack's birthday is, but I want that day off.
Yeah, but you get, like, George Abe Lincoln-ton all rolled into one.
They just combined those dudes.
And it's really only good for car sales, so it's not really... Come on down for president's birthday blowout!
And mattress sales, Craig.
Mattress sales, that is correct. So if you want a car... Our new mattress, you are covered.
Just wait for Rushmore Day.
Yeah.
Don't it's just President's Day. Like, George Washington's birthday is, like, a few days from Lincoln's birthday, and then they were like, well, let's just combine the two somewhere in the middle or something. I don't even know how it works.
They're just going to mask Martin Luther King Jr.'s day into that, too. It's one super holiday.
They just call it February Day.
February Day. They're gonna roll Valentine's Day, all of it. So that's gonna be pretty good. You're gonna buy like chocolates and flowers, maybe a used car, and you know, respect civil rights. It'll be pretty good.
Yep.
All right. Well, Let's talk about a little bit of news. Sega showed off the first trailer for Sonic Lost World, which is exclusive to Nintendo platforms because Nintendo's helping with that. And not to fall into the infamous Sonic cycle, it looks like Nintendo's help might be working because it looks pretty darn good.
It does look really good, yeah. It's got that...
I think...
That...
No, Hugh,
oh, sorry, you go.
No, you go. No, Hugh, I insist.
Okay, well, no, I thought the really wide view, like, really helped the game a lot, because you're going to be able to see where you're running for a start. And it's kind of got that, I don't know, fisheye lens thing going on, so it's like... You know, kind
of
warped a bit.
A lot of sweeping camera angles to it. I'm like, this better not like be in the game because
no, that has to be for the. I mean, you can't.
You say that, but the Dreamcast game was just all full of that horse shit. So
yeah, Sonic is just always running. I remember this. Well, there's more than one specific instance, but I remember one specific instance. It's a snowboarding level, and you have to collect rings to get, like, good ranks in the Sonic Adventure games. And, like, you don't know where the rings are because you're going towards the camera.
Yeah.
And the rings are, like, appearing as you're passing them. Like, oh, they were that way. They were that way. And you just basically got to guess and then learn the level eventually. That was some stupid shit back then. I'm hoping the Sonic running at the camera angle is just for the trailers.
I hope so. I kind of like that tubular level design. That's really... That's interesting.
It's like a F-Zero track or something.
Yeah, but like wrapped around or something, though, right? It's kind of... Well, F-Zero does have tracks wrapped around like that, don't they?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure does.
So yeah, you're right. That's a good comparison.
I like the more freeform level design, I just think just makes for a lot more fun gameplay. Like when you don't have to adhere to like... realistic rules of like, oh, there's ground here and then trees and whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Well,
when
right.
You can just do whatever the hell you want, when you just get those floating platforming areas, I think that just makes it just look a lot more fun. I'm hoping it's more fun to play as well.
I don't like the villains, though. They look stupid.
They're the Space Jam Monstars.
I know. They look goofy as fuck, and I am not interested. So. I don't like those villains. But the rest of the game does look pretty good.
I like that bit in the trailer where, like, as he was going around the loop, like, the camera, like, kept, like, positioned him at the bottom of the screen the whole time, so you'd sort of twist around with Sonic.
The 2D part, yeah.
That was really cool.
I hope that does not make me, like, motion sick.
So this is coming to Wii U and 3DS, right?
What?
The 3DS shots I saw look a lot like the... Wii U version that we saw in that trailer looked very similar. So.
Yeah, there were still 3D areas.
Yeah, that sort of tube-ish level design. Kind of like that.
What was with the art style discrepancy between, like, the CG parts and the gameplay parts, though? Like, the CG parts have, like, AstroTurf-looking grass, and then the gameplay parts have, like, papier-mâché-looking grass.
I didn't catch on that.
No?
In which version was this?
The Wii U trailer they were showing off.
I didn't catch on that.
All right. I'm sure other people have.
Okay.
Maybe.
In Vita news, should come to no shock, there's a bunch more ports coming to the Vita. Flower is coming to the Vita, which is pretty cool. Limbo is coming to the Vita. Epic Mickey 2 is coming to the Vita.
What? So,
yeah, and so is Rayman Legends. Rayman Legends is coming with some exclusive levels.
Like, is Disney just trying to recoup as much money as they can?
Yeah, that seems like a really strange thing. Like, let's double down on this game nobody really liked in the first place. I don't know. I don't know.
They already released it on, like, 4 platforms or something. Was it on 3DS? No, they had the different versions.
I
guess 3? No, well, it was on Wii and Wii U. So 4 platforms. It was on 4 platforms.
Yep.
And it sold, like, combined worse than just the Wii-only first version.
Yes.
So now they're going to release it on more platforms?
Yeah, but I mean, that's the Vita's Latin life. It's just a dumping ground, man. And it sucks, because I really like the system. And, like, when I complain about it, I'm not, like... It's not, like, like fanboy, like partisan complaining. I'm like, oh man, the Vita sucks so much. Look how much it sucks. Like, I'm legitimately upset that this keeps happening. Like, cool, Flower's on there. I love Flower. It's a great game. And if this means that more people can experience Flower, great. Can I please just get something new on this damn thing? Because I'm just like holding my breath for ease right now. Like, that's all I have to look forward to.
Ah, and I still have to buy a Vita for that one game.
I'm sure there'll be other games on it that you might like, but I mean, and a lot of the ports I like. Like, I, you know, it's great that I can play Jet Set Radio on the go, or Earth Defense Force 2017 on the go. That's great. That's cool. But man, like, I can't like live on ports alone.
That's why there's Gravity Rush.
Right. Yeah. I'll just go through that again, I guess.
Yeah. I'm interested in seeing how, like, Flower will, like, play on the Vita. It seems sort of like, what, you'd just be, like, thrashing the Vita around, like kind of like in Face Raiders or something?
Yeah, I would imagine so. Yeah, that's probably what it would be like.
Seems a bit awkward.
I heard there's also touch control, so maybe you can play with touch, too?
Hmm.
I don't know if that'd be as fun, personally. Like, I don't know if I would find that as fun, but...
Should we even think how the touch controls will work? I don't know, because it seems very tilt-oriented. I don't know.
Exactly. It seemed like it would just there wouldn't be much game to touch controls. Like, yep, go to that flower over there. Yep, there you go.
Yeah, I don't know. Doesn't sound great to me.
No. You know, this is great. You know, if people, like I said, if more and more people get to play these games because that they're on Vita, which I don't think that's the case, because I think anyone who owns a Vita probably owns the source consoles for a lot of these. That's great, but it just doesn't seem like anyone's putting anything out original on the Vita. So just
there's always E3.
And failing that, there's all those Monster Hunter clones, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, I can't wait.
They got you sorted on that.
Yep. And then there's something that we didn't get a chance to talk about last episode. Last episode was a very dense episode. There's a lot of ground to cover. But in regards to the Xbox One... Microsoft said that they're not allowing self-publication on Xbox One, which is completely fucking backwards. That's not something you do in the year 2013. Means that any indie developer has to have a third-party publisher, another person sticking their fucking finger in the pie, get more money out
which
of it.
Which is usually Microsoft on... at least on Xbox Live Arcade.
For certain games, I mean, it's not always Microsoft. They do that
it's
for some
games.
It's
not always, but I mean a lot.
Well, it depends on what game's being developed. I mean, I don't want to say Microsoft has standards, because, I don't know, maybe they don't, but a lot of the games that they, you know, will publish on Xbox Live Arcade are of, you know, pretty good quality, at least. I mean, it's not like they're going to publish anything and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about, like, Dust or something like that. Like, yeah, they'll pick up Dust or... did they publish Super Meat Boy?
I don't know. I know they did Limbo and... God, I had another one right now
so
in my head.
They will pick up certain games, you're right, but that's not the route...
Fez.
I mean,
Fez,
apparently
right?
Microsoft getting your games on Microsoft, the Xbox Live Arcade, is already a trial because, like, oh, we already... This genre is too crowded, we can't have that. Oh, we don't know when to put the game out because we don't have enough slots, as they call them.
Isn't that why they started the Xbox Live Indie Games
section? Well, right. And this, yeah, we've had this discussion before where, you know, it's really strange where Microsoft was at the forefront of, you know, having indies on their consoles and then just did, they just like, yeah, you can do this, and then did nothing with it. They don't advertise it. They don't promote it. They don't help anyone. They don't care. They made that gateway there, but then they just did nothing. They did nothing with it, which really drops the ball. And then this further drops the ball. And Microsoft came out and said, oh, well, we'll provide some support and some tools. Yeah, but Sony and Nintendo are already providing support and tools, and they allow self-publication. What are you doing? It's not enough. You have to allow self-publication. Literally every other platform allows that, except for them.
If I remember correctly, and I don't have a name or a source right now, but I'm pretty sure I'm right, because I usually am when I say I don't. But I'm pretty sure, like, one of the guys who was at the forefront of Xbox Live Arcade when it first started, I'm pretty sure he's at Nintendo now.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, I think I heard something like that, too, yeah. Working with that whole, like, sort of web... Is it sort of, like, converting web stuff to, like...
The WebKit SDK?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure I heard that as well.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's heading up that whole thing. So maybe a lot of the philosophies that Nintendo's using now came from him?
Could be. But it seems like such a small thing for some people. Because, I mean, most people are going to buy this thing for, like... It's going to be their Call of Duty Assassin's Creed box. That's fine. That's, you know... I'm not being an asshole when I say that. That's fine. That's what you want to do. But... You know, we're in an era where, like, indies are becoming more and more important, and not allowing self-publication just seems like yet another misstep with this console.
Especially since Sony and Nintendo are so openly embracing it.
Yes.
Right now.
Mm. Oh, and, you know, and then you factor in iOS, you factor in Android, you factor in Steam. It's kind of like, you know, Microsoft, what the fuck are you doing?
Steam being a bit of a pain in the ass with the green light thing now?
Yeah, that green light thing. I mean, yeah, on the subject, green light. Green light was such a good idea. It was a good idea, like, on paper. Like, we can let anyone on Steam, you know, if you get enough votes or whatever, but it just seems like it's spinning, you know, its wheels in the mud. It's not really going anywhere.
It also seems like there's not enough transparency, like how many votes a game has and how much more it needs to actually get anywhere. And I think they only, 10 a month they allow through or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay on paper. It's just implemented poorly.
That and like the whole thumbs down aspect doesn't a thumbs down anywhere. Like a negative vote, I just don't understand at all. Like when you vote for the president, you can't. By voting for the other guy, like, you are by, you know, token voting for not voting for these other people. Like, you don't get to say, nope, not this jackass, and then turn in the ballot. It doesn't work like that. So I don't understand, like, why you can negatively vote for something. Say, like, nope, I don't want, then don't buy it. Like, why can you say no to, I don't get that. That doesn't make any sense to me. And you see that. You see that the game's going, like, nope. And you just see a bunch of games like they're not going to be able to go anywhere because too many people are saying, well, I don't want to play this. Well, no one's going to make you even if it comes out. So what does it fucking matter? The whole thing just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it seems like negatively, like sort of like going out of your way to declare, like, no, I don't want to play this. It's just such like a
it's punishing other people. It has nothing to do with you. It's punishing
such
other
a
people.
Sour attitude.
Exactly it. So. Steam Greenlight rather is not that great. That's unfortunate too. Because there's a story. I read about this game. I'm sorry about that. But there's a game where like it was on Greenlight. But then they got a publisher or they're reaching out to publishers or something like that, and which would allow them to just be on Steam proper to bypass Greenlight. And then Steam was like, nah, you're on Greenlight. We don't want to give the impression that. All people need to do is get a publisher so they can just bypass this. No, actually, that's exactly what it's about. What are you talking about? Like that seems so arbitrary and stupid.
Yeah, I did see that article as well. Like, I saw stuff like Steam stops people from circumventing Greenlight with
it's not circumventing.
I know.
Policies. they're not they're just following your own rules, and then you're like, well, actually. No, you don't count. These rules don't apply to you. Like, what? Ugh. Not cool. And that's about all I want to talk about. You guys have any news you'd like to share?
I have nothing.
The Nintendo Direct in Japan?
Oh, what was it? That was Monster Hunter 4 Direct, right? Is that what that was?
Oh, and Ace Attorney 5, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
I suppose got some new footage and some release dates and box art, and that's about it, really.
I imagine you will be importing Monster Hunter 4.
Yep. I shouldn't really, because, like, I played Monster Hunter Tri-G, and I can't break into it because there's, like, so much kanji, and it's really complicated, like... And not even to mention, like, the gameplay as well. It's just, like, it's so overwhelming. I shouldn't be importing it, but,
Yeah, you're bananas for doing that, dude. Like, that's always a consideration of me. Like, people always ask me, like, do you know enough Japanese to play this game? And I'm like, even if I do, like, even if I play the game, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is totally on my level. It's still just totally, like, it takes a lot of effort to go, like, read all that kanji. It's just, like, it's so exhausting.
It's draining.
Yeah, it's like a game within a game. Like, you're sort of translating
right,
the game, and then you actually have to play it, so it's very tiring.
Although considering, like, the way Capcom's done the servers for Monster Hunter, is it what, 3 Ultimate?
Yeah.
How, like, they've locked them off to, you know, the Western world and Japan. I might just get a English version of Monster Hunter 4 so I can play with.
How many 3DSs do you have? You're on my level yet?
Well, I only have 2. I'm not. I mean, I got a US one at launch, but then I didn't buy any games for it, and I think I just ended up selling and getting a PAL one because I thought it'd just be a bit easier. And then, yeah, because I wanted to make sure I got a PAL one while they still had the NES and GBA games.
Oh, yes.
And now I have a Japanese one as well.
Mm-hmm.
To practice my language.
good.
I'm thinking of importing the that Luigi XL from Japan.
That one's a cool one.
If no one breaks, I mean, it's been over 2 years and no one's still broken the region lock. It doesn't mean they won't, but no one's broken it yet, so... I don't think importing is necessarily a bad idea because, I think you might put that to use, Seth. So,
I read that there's like a flash cart that somebody actually has working, but it's still like is region locked. It's region locked. So I'm like, what the? That's just piracy. What's the point of that?
You're just working on pirating games. No one cares. Why don't you work on things that matter, jerkass?
Yeah, I
the trailer for that thing was pretty cute. Oh, sorry. I thought the trailer was pretty cute. Sorry.
I love how much Ryan and Hugh apologize.
Yeah, yeah.
They're very polite over there. Now, go ahead, Hugh.
I was just going to say that the trailer for that flash card was really dubious. It was just sort of like cutaways whenever anything happened, like put it in, and then like, and then showed the menu, and then like starting Luigi Mansion 2.
Yeah,
it didn't inspire hope that it actually worked 100%.
Yeah, and then, like, she had, like, a whole bunch of, like, I'm assuming it was a woman, because it wasn't the hand, like, of, it doesn't matter. Anyway, but they were like micro SD cards, like, beside it, so you meant to have, like, an individual one per...
Later on, it was said that that was how it was running at the time, but now you could have multiple games on one SD card or something like that.
Cool.
Yeah, but that's still, it's just piracy. I don't want piracy. I want region-free gameplay.
Right, because the idea that, like, oh, I can keep all my games, because, like, some pirates were, like, with an R4, they're like, oh, I bought all the games, I just keep them on one card now. It doesn't hold any water, because you can just download stuff on the eShop. If you really want it to be that convenient, you can have stuff on an SD card.
Sure, there are a few people.
And the convenience of downloading them, too.
Yeah. At any rate.
Honestly, I hope this gets blocked, because I'd rather not have it turn into a situation like the PSP or even DS later on, where it was mostly just people not buying games.
Yeah.
Which is a sad day.
Yep.
Okay, let's do some mailbag. You can go to tvnuts.net, this big mailbag banner. If you want to drop us a question or a comment or feedback, you are welcome to do that. First up, we have Andrew, and my computer just went to screensaver, so we'll fix that. He wants to know my thoughts on the Game of Thrones TV show, and I like it. My thoughts don't really extend too much more than that, I suppose. I mean, it's well acted, it's well written, there's a lot of buts. A++. I tried reading the first book after the show had started, and I couldn't get into the book at all. There's just so many names and places. It's really information dense, and it's much easier to watch a show. And, like, even if you don't know, you know, someone's name, you're like, oh, there's the midget. I know that guy. And then it's much easier than reading the book. And here he says he's a novice when it comes to downloadable games on 3DS and Vita. And the only one he's downloaded is Guacamelee on the Vita between the two of them. So he wants to know what our top 3 recommended games on 3DS and Vita are. I don't know. I never really thought about that. The Vita's, like I said, the Vita's great. I mean, there is an asset in being able to download games on the Vita from other consoles. You know, if you want to play them on the go or... you know, you don't own that particular console. So it's great to have, like, Earth Defense Force, Jet Set Radio. I think Cinemora is a lot more tolerable on a handheld because then you can do it while you're watching TV and not put up with all that Hungarian animal banter, which is really boring. So, you know, it's really great to take a look at, you know, games you have not downloaded on your PS3 or whatever on the Vita. And Earth Defense Force is a lot of fun. That's great to have that game. That game is really great on the go because you can play one mission or you can play 30, and it really suits that platform really well. Let me take a look at my 3DS here.
Pushmo.
Yeah, I like the Guild games. Seth, do you have three that you would recommend?
I think my favorites are Pushmo, Mighty Switch Force, and I don't know. I have a bunch I've like downloaded and not even played, so that's awful of me.
Yeah.
I think Gunman Clive is really good for especially for the price.
Yeah, Gunman Clive. I like Liberation Maiden as well, and you know, I'm not really sure after that. Mighty Switch Force is really good. Yep.
Craig, just say Mute Muds because you're in love with Jules Watson.
I'm not very good at Mute Muds. I find the time limits to be really, really harsh in that game.
Craig's awful at video games.
Terrible. No, Mute Muds is really good too. Hugh, do you have any in particular?
I don't like download a lot of games very much because I'm ignorant and I'd rather get the retail games. But I don't know. I guess the Guild games, Mute Muds and Gunman Clive. Yeah, I don't know. If you're lucky, get the Ambassador games.
Yeah, there's. I mean, that's it's unanimous.
Yeah.
Get some of those. he says, thanks a lot and keep up the great work on the show. We will do our best. Supreme Ruler of Everything Confused Batman says, Andrew doesn't know what the fuck he's talking. I don't know what this has anything to do with. Chaos Saturn says, here in the UK, there's a one-off special edition of Grid 2 for £125,000. And he's like, I assure you there's no typo there.
Wow.
What are your thoughts on this? Does this come with a car?
It comes with a car.
Oh, it does come with a car. No shit.
It comes with a race car, dude.
I just clicked on it. What is it like? Is it a go-kart, though, with, like, a racing frame?
I don't think it's just got
a lawnmower in it.
Nah, I'm pretty sure that's, like, a real
Like a power car. Wheels, or?
No, dude, that's, like, it's a race car. Pretty sure. Let's see. Products, see more. I was looking at this the other day.
So what is it just like, picture. Is it just, I don't understand, like, is it a copy of the game?
I'm pretty sure you get a PS3 in there as well.
I know.
Yeah. It's a BAC Mono supercar.
You get, wow, that, yeah, no, it's a
full, 170 miles per hour car.
That is a full-size car, yeah, you could go to work in that car.
I don't know if that's street legal.
Probably not. What are your thoughts on this?
Oh, sorry.
I think it's going too far. You could buy a house for this, he says. Well, I don't want the car, so I am wholly in. If someone really wants that car, and I guess the racing gloves or whatever that come with it.
No, you get the full driver race wear. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you get all of it, and then do I get the blonde guy? he's gonna personally deliver it and be my handmaiden for like a week.
The game has an exclusive cover, Craig. Only that copy has that cover.
I don't want this. I'm not interested.
It's cool, like, promotion, but...
I don't think it's going too far, because it's obviously just like a... I don't know. Like... Something fun. Jeez, for somebody rich.
It reminds me back in the 90s when Pepsi had Pepsi points and you'd save, like, you know, UPC codes. You had, like, a whole catalog of stuff you could buy if you drank, like, a million Pepsis. And then there was... They claimed... In one of the commercials, if you saved up... Was it a million points? I don't know. You could get a jet. So, like, 20 people got together and, like, got a million points. Like, where's our fucking jet? Like, Pepsi's like, we don't have a jet. It's clearly a joke. So, yeah, that's what this reminds
me. That sucks, because if you can, like, survive drinking a million Pepsis, you deserve that jet.
You deserve to try. You deserve to spread out amongst 20 people, right?
Yeah.
Next, we have Francois, who addresses Silver Mongoose's comment last episode about separating the word bonjour into two words, which means, I mean, bonjour does mean good day. but he says he's Americanized it, so that's why it's two words. Chris M. here is from Nicaragua, and he says that he called into a radio show, and they were perhaps a bit surprised. It was from Nicaragua. He says his English is flawless. His friend jokingly calls him a white beaner. But he says, I guess what I'm trying to get at is, would you guys have a tendency to view me as weird or less just because of my being Nicaraguan? Or maybe because of how rare it is to meet a Nicaragua-born Nicaraguan? That word is tongue-tying me with good English. Maybe not the best way to phrase that question, but close enough. I don't think less of anyone because I'm from Nicaragua. Like, no. Like, honestly, this is probably American ignorance at best. I don't know too much about Nicaragua. Like, it's a Latin American country. It's about all I know.
I know it's just below Costa Rica?
Yeah, it's down there. I mean, I don't know where the radio show was. If it was in America. See, here's the thing with America. America, a lot of Americans are ignorant. And I mean that in the true sense of the word, where they are not aware. Ignorance often used as an insult. I'm just stating as a matter of fact here. America's a huge country, and, we're bordered only by two other countries. And one of them has a culture that's basically the same thing as ours. It's very homogenous around here. So, people just aren't aware of other cultures and other countries, whether it's, willful or just situational ignorance. And that's just how it is around here. I always find different cultures very interesting and stuff, personally. So I don't think someone's lesser just because they're from Nicaragua. But Americans are often just not aware. And that also comes from being the world's only superpower currently, because China's kind of catching up. You don't have to be concerned about other people. Other people have to be concerned about you. So you're just like, whatever. I don't care.
Well, I think less of him. I can't stand it. Wow.
Listen to this Mexican. He's like, I don't like people from the southern border, from the south of my country either. Like, look at this guy.
Costa Rica, that's as far as I go where I like people. People in Costa Rica are awesome. Nicaragua, though, oh, God, I can't stand them.
Oh, Jesus.
But I think it's interesting that he has absolutely – well, he claims to have no accent.
Yeah.
Are your parents, like, not from Nicaragua?
Well, he says he has no accent, but maybe that's just when he's speaking English.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously.
You can adapt that. That's not, that's not...
When I went to Italy, I was like, oh, some black dudes, I could talk to them, and they were just speaking Italian, and I was like, oh, why did
that's
I not
really
think...
That's really presumptive of you.
I know, it was. It was awful, and I'm like, oh, they speak Italian, too. I'm an idiot, because I'm in Italy. Duh. So, yeah, I have just stupid moments like that myself.
And I mean, it's just like you don't hear a lot about Nicaragua in general, the country. And, particularly Americans in our day-to-day life, we don't speak to many Nicaraguans. I mean, usually it's, more – we think of more it's more, I don't know, European-centric, I guess, if we were to think – if we consider the other countries, I guess. It's just some of that ignorance, being at the, top of the food chain, for lack of a better term, or having such a huge country that borders another huge country that's basically the same thing as yours. You don't get that experience, I guess.
Of course, I'm sure Hugh has plenty of experience with Nicaraguans.
Oh, man, it's cracker central in New Zealand, I imagine.
Not a lot of Nicaraguans, no. Yeah.
How many?
Well, I mean, I'm only speaking from what I know, but as far as I can tell, yeah.
In a month's span, how many non-white people do you see? You?
Oh, lots, because there's Maori people here as well, and there's a lot of Polynesian people, and
do you segregate them, put them on reservations like we did with our Native Americans?
No. It's very
Do you treat them poorly, yeah, like the Australians treat the Aboriginals?
No. It's pretty cultural over here.
New Zealand sounds just like... You know what? I picture in my head, it looks just like that dish soap label. It sounds very
peaceful. What is the dish, though? What brand is this,
what Greg?
I think it was like Dawn, and it was like, it looked like mountains and meadows and waterfalls and stuff, like butterflies. It was really happy.
Mm, that's all there. That's all there is, yeah.
That's it. Right on.
Middle Earth, yeah.
Mason asks if I still go boomerang throwing. I have not. I usually go when the weather's nice. The weather just got nice here. Like last week, it was like in the 40s, and now it's in like freaking high 80s. That's New England. So I haven't been this year. I did go last year. I do occasionally go boomerang throwing. Yes. Francois says,
"Do some boomerang unboxing videos."
Boomerang unboxing videos. They just buy them in the mail, and they just come in a box full of like peanuts or something. Like I don't. There's nothing exciting.
They don't box their boomerangs. How many boomerangs do you have, Craig?
A few. I really only have two that I really use, but I mean, I think I have like four or five.
Have you ever thrown one at a squirrel or something to hunt? Have you ever used it for hunting?
No.
I guess.
But no. Last summer, I was teaching some of my friends to throw, my friend Chris. He thought he'd be totally cool. He's treating it like a frisbee. Like, yeah, at first once he got the throwing down and got it to come back to him, he starts, like, diving for it and stuff. I'm like, dude, you really shouldn't do that. You're going to get hurt. Like, even I don't always reach for the boomerang when it comes back because you're going to fuck up your fingers. And he's diving for it. He gets cracked right in the fucking face with this boomerang like as it's coming back. Dude, no, not a good idea. Francois says, bonjour, Polish sausage, Mexican hot tamale, and white cup. I guess Hugh is the white cup artist this week.
I'll have to fill in, yeah, since Chris stood you up. Yeah.
He says his honor exceeded his expectations of a guest star, and he has some, I guess, praise for him here. And then it said reminded him of a PS3 game coming out in Japan in September, My Little Sister Can't Be This Cute, which is based on a manga and anime series. And then he asked if we'll be importing it. I will not be, because I don't really read manga or watch anime much, so it's not interesting to me.
I got like five copies. No, I don't have... Who cares about this game? I say that now, but now I'm sure, like, Maddie Madzerick is probably like, hey, I care.
I know.
Sorry, Maddie.
What about you, Hugh? Are you into...
No, I'm not going to import this game, but I don't have a little sister, so I can't relate to the main character, so...
I see.
That's the only reason.
Clock Blockers apologizes for his comment last episode, because he ran a little wrong. He said long, he had to fill Azam's void. He said, I like the episode, but I sort of got the feeling that was a bit forced. Craig, you should relax more, pick a more comfortable time to record. Take it easy. I know this comment comes from a good place, so I'm not, like, mad or anything. I know Clock Blockers is a good guy. But it's, you know, some of these suggestions that people have, whether it's the podcast, like the videos, there's just so much easier said than done. Like, you know, normally when it's, you know, Seth and Chris and I, like, we're three adults who have full-time jobs who work in three different time zones. It's not so easy necessarily to pick a, you know, pick a better time, just relax, you know. And so, I don't know. Sometimes it's just a matter of, you know, either we make the show that we can make or we don't make anything. And it's a valid criticism. Last episode was a bit brisk. We had to move fast. It's totally a valid criticism, but there's just sometimes just not much we can do about it. I mean, there's also the concern that, you know, while there are people that like, yeah, 5-hour episodes, that's great. And other people are like, I don't have fucking time for that. So it's a matter of, you know, making sure the shows don't run too long, whether I have to go to work or not anyway. So
I think Hugh prefers longer episodes.
I do. Because I can listen to them while I'm walking.
Awesome. Are you going to listen to this episode and just hate your own voice the entire time?
Well, no, I've cheated myself out of an episode this week. This was the worst idea ever.
Yes, it was. You got nothing.
Whoops. Clock Blockers wants to thank someone, I guess anyone, for introducing him to Game Center CX. I've been watching that a lot lately. I've watched a few clips on YouTube. I mean, I'm not ignorant of the show, but... It's only been recently that I actually sat down and started watching episodes, and God, that show is so freaking good.
It's really good.
It's super good.
I mean, obviously, you know, you come from the perspective that it's fun because we like video games, but I mean, the humor is not like, so culturally entrenched in Japan that it's not, you know, not funny to us. Like, it actually is funny. It's really funny show.
And no, Areno's hilarious.
He's hilarious. And it's totally, there's no cultural barrier to the humor, which is great. And, you know, they go to arcades, they travel around Japan, they, you know...
That's what I love about it, yeah.
Yeah, they interview developers. It's not just him playing these games, even though that's enjoyable and funny. There's just so much more to the show. And, I mean, if you look it up on YouTube, I mean, there are people that have uploaded, like, a bunch of subbed episodes, so it's pretty easy to watch, and I totally recommend it. It's great fun.
Yeah, it's a group from the Something Awful forums, I think, that translate them. And, like, big props to them, because...
Yeah, because that's a massive undertaking. Then they don't get any. They don't get anything out of it. It's just people. Yeah. You know,
they did actually get jobs doing the official translations for the DVD set that came out over here
that nobody watched, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but
it's kind of expensive, though. We got that one set.
It's not a lot of episodes, and they cut out the like the visiting the arcades parts and stuff like that.
Yeah. And,
yeah, so yeah, I was gonna buy it, but it was like $45-$50. But if they cut out. It was only a handful of episodes as it is, but if they cut out material from those episodes that they have, like, I'm kind of glad I passed.
From what I understand, even the DVD releases cut out those segments, and it's only, like, the TV airings that have them.
Oh, and really? In Japan? In Japan?
Yeah, even in Japan, yeah.
Interesting. Well, then go on YouTube and watch it. I would prefer to get money for it, but it is on YouTube, and I would...
I need to get back, and I'm only, like, 20-something episodes in.
Yeah, I haven't watched enough of it either. Actually, it's also on the eShop if you're interested in Japan.
Yeah, I was blown away. Like, if you have a Japanese Wii U or Japanese 3DS, it's right there on the eShop. You can watch it there, too.
Oh, and if you're fluent in Japanese as well, that would help, too.
Well, right, it's unsubbed. Yeah, it doesn't do a whole lot for me.
Yeah. It's interesting, though, because Japanese shows often have, like, subtitles anyway, but in Japanese, so... Yeah. Yeah, I don't quite know why they do that, but it's kind of helpful if you're still learning because, like, you've got something else to work with.
There's a reference to it, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I can't still... of course, I can't still watch it on the eShop, so I'm going to watch them on YouTube, too.
We have Dictator Zom next. He dropped, like, 20 comments. Zom, chill, bro. I know you got a big head because you were on the show now, but, bro, you got to chill out.
Two Azam, just two. You get two comments. I'm going to start deleting any more comments, Azam.
And we only say that just for the sake of pacing so that we don't have to, like, blast through everyone else's comments. It's a matter of sharing the time slot with everyone. But he says, what do you guys think about the whole DRM thing that happened on Twitter where people started the war against DRM? So there was this hashtag. I think it started from Gaff. Where there was like I think the hashtag was like no PS4 DRM or something like this, and they were, you know, tweeting Sony people with it, and it was bombarding Twitter with this. Because while Microsoft has not been completely clear with their stance on DRM, always being online, used games, it's clear that they are doing something, that there will be hurdles in terms of being able to play offline or playing used games. It's clear that there's something in place based on what Microsoft has said. Sony really hasn't said anything. They said, yep, you can play used games, but technically you can play used games on your ex-boner as well. So that's not necessarily helpful. So people were trying to follow up with Sony, like, what are you talking about? And they were still keeping mum, so this whole hashtag thing started. And, you know, Sony has acknowledged, the people from within Sony have acknowledged it. Whether it's going to mean anything, I don't know. You know, because I think this is... Microsoft obviously has, and if Sony goes along with this, they're going along with what publishers want, and they're going to listen to them more than they're going to listen to you. So I don't know. It's cool that people at Sony acknowledged it, but I don't know how far it's going to go.
We're all still blaming EA for this, right?
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of. I love that the whole thing came right after, like, hey, guess what, guys? We're dropping our offline codes, input, whatever things they're called. I can't think right now. I'm sorry.
And now we know why.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a shame. It reminds me of almost like store-specific pre-order bonuses. You go to Walmart, you get this. You go to Best Buy, you get this. You go to GameStop, you get this. And it's like, that doesn't help anybody. That does not, you know, it does not favor the consumer. I'm all for this. This industry is, I'm all for people making money on their products or services. I fully understand. I think the internet age has made people a little I don't want to say entitled, because that's a word that's just thrown around, but it's just, this age has devalued content, because people can so readily get so much stuff for very little or even no money, whether it's legitimately or illegitimately. So it's really devalued stuff, and it just, newsflash, shit costs money. Things you like cost money. That's just the way it is. And, so I don't mind people making money off their stuff, but these practices are really antagonistic to the consumer in the case of the video game industry. And the thing is, like, if you cannot make it through this industry, you know, because of used games, you have bigger problems than used games. Because this problem, I don't think, is on the consumer end. Maybe in some cases there are some things that we've done to exacerbate it, but this is really a matter of making games that cost tens of millions of dollars, require 400 people to produce, then you lay them all off, then you still need season passes and DLC and stuff to further monetize it, and then you still don't make all you want off the game. It's still a quote-unquote disappointment. I don't think that's on our end. 3.5 million people bought the new Tomb Raider in less than a month. I think we did our job in that case. I think we did exactly what we were supposed to do. Sounds like Square Enix fucked up, if you ask me.
Yeah, Tomb Raider is the perfect example right there. I mean, that it sold crazy amounts. It's like as much as Tomb Raider was selling back when it was actually popular.
I think that's still more. Back on I think the that's PlayStation. More than that.
I think it is, and still, like, how can you be disappointed with those kinds of sales? That means that your budget is just fucked up.
Yeah, they fucked up somewhere. So the problem's on their end, not ours. You know, maybe sometimes our expectations are skewed. Yes, there are pirates. Yeah, there are some issues on the consumer end. I don't disagree, but this problem in particular, this is totally on the publisher end, and punishing us to solve their problem is fucking stupid.
But Craig, if you pre-order Shin Megami Tensei 4 from Amazon, you could get a trench coat with Amazon smiles all over for your character.
Pass. Paper Cum Company, the source for all your recycled wastes.
That's just awful on so many levels.
Here's the thing. It's a good start. It's a good start to his con. he says he listened to some episode of the podcast. He hadn't before. And he said, and there's nothing better than the opening lines of Podcast 19 where Craig laughs his ass off even before finishing his name. And there's an episode where Seth had a laugh attack when someone said, "How hard of a grip does Mike Azam have on Microsoft's cock?" I'm pretty sure that was me who said that. This leads me to my question. What are some of your favorite moments of the podcast? I think those sorts of things are harder to come up with when you make them. And there's no script. I mean, a lot of this stuff is just off the cuff. I put it together when I have time, which is sometimes like the day before we record the next episode. It's, you know, it's really hard to come up with your favorite moment when you're really just talking with some dudes. Like, I don't know. Hugh, you're a listener, so do you have like a favorite moment or two in particular yourself?
Well, I don't really keep a pen and paper when I'm listening to the podcast. I don't know. I love the supermarket banter waiting in line. No, I don't know. When I won Oathenfell Gunner, that was good. That was a good time. I don't know. Just listening to the podcast every time it's up is good. So, in general.
Now, what is? I've never asked this to like a listener. What is? And you're kind of friendly with us, so this might taint your answer. But what is, I mean, is the quality fairly consistent when you listen to it? Or are there some episodes you're like, this isn't funny and this is stupid. What are they, why is this even a thing?
Well, whenever Chris is on. No, Chris, I'm just playing. No, it seems relatively consistent every week.
That makes me happy.
Like, yeah. Well, consistently good?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just tune in because you guys like you know, like-minded in games and stuff. So
I can't remember that. Because I'm just hard on myself. I always feel like sometimes I walk away and I'm like, man, that was just not the best. And there's nothing you do about it because a lot of the show is while we have segments and stuff, a lot of it's just organic. And if like the jokes or the side stories don't come organically, like I feel like, man, that episode could have been better. But there's just nothing you can do about it either, you know.
Yeah, just keep thinking that way, and then you'll keep the quality bitter every successive time.
I push myself. I don't know. People may not know it, but I really, you know, I really do push myself to make sure that everything is as good as I can make it, you know. And Seth's just naturally hilarious, and Chris is just naturally Chris, so, it, you know, it comes together on their end. But I sometimes I just feel like a fucking failure.
It's easy for Chris and I to know when Craig likes an episode because he'll praise us at the end of it, and it just feels really weird. Like, I don't know, I feel like I'm being panicked. He's like, good job, guys. I'm like, oh, were all the other episodes awful, Craig?
I just like when an episode comes together. Like, here's the thing, like, when it's great, like, I praise you guys because I want to make sure that, you know, like, I appreciate your efforts. But when it's bad, like, I don't think it's your fault. I think it's my fault.
It is, though. they all seem the same to me. I was like, huh, Craig liked that episode. It seems like the same shit every week to me, but okay.
That's the thing. I do praise them after episodes, and Seth hates it. Seth can't stand it.
I hate it. Yeah, I don't respond well to praise. I don't know what's wrong with me.
This is surreal, like getting a peek behind the curtain or something.
Yeah, I'm just exposing all of this.
We have a comment from someone named Brian J.
I wonder who that asshole
and
is.
He says, "Dear scheduled listener guests, how come you are just such a Kiwi bloke? You better be cracking open how do you pronounce Tui?
Tui, yeah.
And eating a hangi?
Hangi.
What are these things?
Tui's a beer, and hangi is like a meal of some sort, I guess.
You have to be more specific than that.
It's like Māori culture. I don't know. I'm not really familiar with it, so don't put the questions on me. But Tui is a beer.
Well,
I'm a really bad representative for New Zealand right now.
Well, he says you're going to let the Commonwealth down if you ain't doing these things. So if you don't even know what a hangi is, like, you are just setting your country up for failure.
Ryan, like, says he was raised by Scottish people, and he knows he's dropping the hangis. You should
anyone can say hangi.
All right.
A hangi, or earth oven, is the best known traditional form of cooking for Māori.
You are just reading this from something.
Is it obvious?
It's one of five articles on Wikipedia.nz.
it's Māori cuisine. So I was there.
Is it? That doesn't tell me anything. Is it like?
Is it an animal? Is it a plant?
It involves digging a pit in the ground, heating stones in the pit with a large fire, placing baskets of food on top of the stones, and covering everything with earth for several hours before uncovering or lifting the hangi.
So you're eating dirt food.
It's baskets of food, though. But, like, what kind? Is this just anything? You just, like, here's some orange juice and some, like, broccoli and just bury it? Can you, like, bury any food with hot stones and it becomes hangi?
In your hangi?
It's, like, vegetables and meat and stuff. Like, I think. I can't say I've had one, I don't think, to be honest.
Would you really have to? I mean, is there a shortcut? Can you get, like, it at McDonald's, some shortcut way of doing it? So you really have to bury baskets and shit.
I'm pretty sure it's just sort of reserved for, like, I don't know, like, occasions.
This sounds like a lot of work for very little payoff. I'm just going to use an oven.
Is Queen's Day an occasion to have a hangi feast?
I couldn't tell you. I'm sorry.
Man. We have the worst New Zealanders.
Next question.
Sincerely, New Zealand ambassador number one. Yeah, but a better ambassador, because he seems to know what he's talking about.
Well, he didn't actually prove anything.
He just uses words. What does that even mean?
They're just things I've heard. He's probably.
Also, what is your favorite game with the ugliest graphics? I use this example a lot, especially when someone's asked, like, what's your favorite game that's really terrible? And I haven't played it since it came out. I really like Adrian Chronicles on the N64. That game is terrible.
What game?
Adrian Chronicles, the First Mage. And that game's interesting because, like, if you want it in the box, it costs money, like, quite a bit of money. It was, in its initial run, there's a handful of games on the N64 that were colored cartridges, but then later became gray cartridges, and the gray variant is actually worth a lot of money. It's worth more money than the initial colored version. So, Adrian Chronicles was initially black, like Turok 2, and its gray variant is actually worth quite a bit of money. Same thing with, like, Rage Wars. Because I think Rage Wars, you actually had a right to a claim or whatever to, because like, oh, I got a glitch or something like that, and they mailed you the gray cart, and there's like five of them. Oh. So yeah, Alien Chronicles, regardless of how you want it, it costs a few bucks. It's an RPG.
I'm looking at screen caps, and this game's ugly as shit.
It is. The characters' hands look like hooves. They're just like weird, like tri-corner boxes or something on their arms. The music is way worse. It's like three notes composed on a keyboard, and the game is not that fun. But I really like it. Like, I really enjoyed it when I got it. And I knew it was bad. It's not like I was under the impression, like, wow, this game's great. And like, no, I knew it was bad when I was playing, but I really liked it for some reason. I have not played it since. But I did like it, and it's got terrible music. And it crashes, too. It has a crash screen. Because that's it doesn't just freeze. Like, you literally get a crash screen. So yeah, it's A+ craftsmanship on Alien Chronicles.
Is the crash screen like a puppy unplugging a wire or something?
It's really not a consumer crash screen. It's more like a developer crash screen. It's more like an error code. There's like some lines of code in it.
Oh, I see.
And it says the game is crashed, and there's just some lines of code and stuff. But yep, that happens.
I'm trying to think. I'm pretty sure every game I like has just beautiful graphics.
You should
go, Hugh. Well,
I'm struggling to think as well. Anything from the 32-bit generation? I don't know.
Some of those were some butt ugly games.
But a lot of them look good at the time.
Yeah. Like, granted, yeah.
It actually depends, because back then I even thought like PlayStation 1 games looked ugly with all their texture warping and crap
texture
going on.
Always rubbed me the wrong
and way. Then a lot of people were like, N64 games were blurry as shit, and they were, but I liked those better.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least they don't look unstable, though.
Yeah, it looks like the world's fucking falling apart in some of these PlayStation 1
games. Yeah, PS1 games, like if you breathe on them too hard, they're just going to collapse or something.
Yeah, everything's made of cards.
Yeah. You know, I just thought of one. I liked Final Fantasy VII, but a lot of times I could not even tell what the fuck I was looking at on those screens. I'd have to like start moving Cloud around before I could. Oh, he's there on whatever this is supposed to be.
Yeah,
because everything had those sort of like muted, muddy colors, and they all just kind of blended into each other.
Yeah. Then a lot of the angles they used on those pre-rendered backgrounds weren't great. And yeah, no. So, Final Fantasy VII. I think that game's just ugly. But I liked it.
The Lego men have their charm.
Alright, well, if you guys can't think of nothing.
That's censored! What are you? What's wrong with you?
Fair enough. Wet Rubbish, whose real name is apparently Alex, is jealous of the, my Shin Megami Tensei 4 LL. So he's gonna have to settle for the Animal Crossing one. Which is, I like that one. Some people don't. Some people compared it to a Pop-Tart, but I kind of like that one.
It does look like a Pop-Tart. I can see that.
He says, anyway, do you think Sega is going to localize Yakuza 5 with all the zaniness going on? I saw the Japanese copy at a local store earlier this week for $40. What? Really? Like, none of my local stores have Japanese games. And it took all my results.
Yeah, what store do you have to go to buy import games? That's cool.
Yeah, very cool.
I know, like, bigger cities like New York have import game shops and stuff like that.
That's
so.
Probably true.
I mean, the reason why I started importing was because there were no games here that I wanted to play.
You should start in your own import store, Hugh.
No.
Actually, I'm pretty sure you already do that for Ryan, so never mind.
No, I don't like renting myself out. I'm selfish.
You know what? Like, some website asked... I forget what it was again, sorry. Some website actually asked Sega if they're localizing Yakuza 5, and they responded with a haiku. I actually tweeted about this. I'm like, Sega's trolling these motherfuckers. And they said they have no comment, but stay tuned, good news coming, or something like that. And
yeah, I saw the Yakuza 5 haiku.
So, that sounds promising to me. And I certainly hope so, because I love that series.
They're actually just referring to Yakuza 1 and 2 HD for Wii U.
What's that?
I said they're probably just talking about Yakuza 1 and 2 HD for Wii U. That's what
so that would be, you know, that would be enjoyable too. Like, I would still get that, but I want 5.
I want 5.
What's that?
I want 5 as well, but I'm hesitant because it looks difficult to play.
Yeah, I would just import it and fumble my way through the stuff that I can't play, so we'll see.
If it never gets released, I will, you know, like with
right, exactly. I mean, I got Kenzen, and I got, like, what is it, Panther or whatever it's called. I got those for PS4.
Oh, I keep forgetting those games exist. I really want to get them.
They have a nice art style. The battle, the combat's very, very different. It's more like a fighting game, but...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it's actually...
As opposed to, like, a beat-em-up, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Oh, that's neat.
Jeremy says that, as a massive Sonic fan, that the new Lost World announcement is exciting to him. He says it looks like it's building on everything Colors and Generation did great, but it also pushes the series forward. Anyway, between the deal between Nintendo and Sega with Sonic and Platinum with Bayonetta 2, what other third-party franchises would you like to see Nintendo pursue as exclusives? Hmm.
Klonoa, cough, cough.
That would be nice. That would be such a good pairing. That would be perfect.
Oh, I also want... Like Nintendo to tell Capcom, hey, maybe you should restart that Mega Man Legends 3 thing. Remember, guys?
That would be pretty sweet, yeah. What about you, Hugh? What do you think?
I don't know. Maybe, like, take up this, was it Shadow of the... What's the one that, you know, the kickstarting one from, the ex-Silicon Knights people.
Oh, was it Shadow of the Eternals, I think?
Yeah. If Nintendo published that, it would surely be good. I reckon.
If Nintendo published it, they should make it just Eternal Darkness 2.
And they should tell them to start over on development and do it. They're not going to reach that goal, by the way.
No, yeah. It's kind of sad, but I don't want to back it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly. I think that's everyone's feeling. That's why they don't have the money.
Yeah, everyone's like sort of very sorry for them, but nah.
Nah, absolutely. Yeah. Azam says a bunch of stuff. Then Supreme Ruler of Everything Confused. Oh, I'm sorry. Jeremy also said that he would like to see a deal between Nintendo and Konami/Hudson on a new Bomberman Adventure game in the vein of N64 titles, which would be nice. And to have a nice new multiplayer Bomberman would be fun as well.
That would be cool.
And he actually goes along with Seth's suggestion here, saying he would like to see Nintendo help out Capcom with Mega Man.
Capcom should do another Capcom 5, like on the GameCube, for Wii U.
That worked out.
Let's have a Killer 8.
Yeah.
Oh, no, with Rare! Nintendo should get back with Rare.
Nintendo would be... That would be much better off. Microsoft ain't using them, that's for sure.
Take
you
back.
Guys make avatars?
Yeah. Right, they have that historic IP that they're revisiting.
Killer Instinct.
Xbox One. It has to be Killer Instinct, right?
I mean,
Microsoft just like got that whole license use of the title sorted out with Fox. I guess Fox has a television show called Killer Instinct, and I don't know. It has to be Killer Instinct.
If it was almost anything but that, like if it was like Perfect Dark, if it was a new Banjo-Kazooie platformer, even a new Viva Pinata, that would have me more excited. Like, I don't dislike Killer Instinct. I mean, Killer Instinct Gold was my first N64 game. I enjoyed it, but I mean, with this sort of fighting game renaissance we have right now, it's like, it's riding purely on nostalgia, I think. I mean, is anyone really excited, like champing at the bit, like any real fighting fans champing at the bit for a new Killer Instinct?
I don't think it was like a very good fighting game.
No, it wasn't a very technical.
I used to mash buttons like a dum-dum, and cool stuff would happen.
Ultra combo!
Exactly.
Yeah,
I did like an 80-something combo with Spinal, and I was just like doing circles on the freaking buttons with my thumb.
That's what I was nasty with Kim Woo. That's what I would do. I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
but... I don't know, if they could, like, make an actual fighting game that's good out of it, I guess it would be interesting, but...
Would it stay on the Xbox One, though?
No, not at all. Not even a little bit.
How about a Blast Corps?
Ooh, that...
That would be good. That wouldn't be as exciting to me as the ones that I mentioned, but I do like the sound of that. Or even a new Jet Force Gemini.
Gemini might sell me on the system. I don't even know who's at Rare anymore, though. Like, I don't know if they could pull off, like, that caliber game anymore, you know?
Right. I mean, that's a fair point. I mean...
They would have to reprove themselves. Like, if they just announced something, I couldn't, like, oh, I must buy that. I'd have to, like, see a lot of footage of it and stuff, because I can't remember the last time Rare made a video game I cared about.
Probably, like, 2008. Like, that's... It's been, I mean, I like this, their games on the 360. You know, people, you know, say that they're not as good as the N64 games, and that's probably true. But I still think that they're fun games. I liked Viva Pinata very, very much. And I like Nuts and Bolts. And I like Cameo and Perfect Dark Zero. But I think their last one that they put out, I think, was Nuts and Bolts. I'm pretty sure that was, like, 2008. It's been a while.
Yeah. So, like, they really, at this point, they just have to reprove themselves in my eyes, I think
that's fair, yeah.
And then get back with Nintendo.
Right, yeah. Get back on track here. Supreme Ruler of Everything Confused Batman says, hello, synthesizers, and Seth. Chris, official ruler of all the cup facilities, and Azam is in charge of TV and Estonia's roads. This is a lot of nonsense. Holy crap. Anyway, I got Oracle of Ages off the 3DS eShop, which prompts me to ask, why are you got? Well, what are your guys' thoughts on the games? Like, which one you like more? Also, I bring Azam on as full-time podcast host, or maybe it means I would. No, that's all right. I'm not a big fan of the Oracle games. I've said as much as on Twitter and in my most recent video. I feel like they're too messy. I know people like them, and a lot of people's instincts like, Craig, you're wrong, and that's fine, but...
They're just
a shotgun blast of terrible. They each have their own central gimmick, which is fine. A lot of games ride on that, especially Zelda's. You know, you got time traveling in one, changing seasons in the other, but then it's like, then you got magic rings, and you got magic seeds, and then you can ride in a fucking kangaroo or change into a mermaid. You can, you know, run into this fucking witch. Who wants to run into the witch? Nobody wants to run into the witch. Why are you doing all this garbage? And it's just stupid.
It's not fun.
It's
amazing. Oh, my God. I thought it was fun.
I don't think the games are that terrible. Like, don't take it the wrong way. Like, I played them both.
He hates them.
I don't hate them, but I'm just
He thinks they're worse than the CDI games.
No, actually, but I would probably rank them pretty low. I put them pretty low because there's just no focus. Like, Capcom, and then there's just like past characters, whether they make sense or not. Like, Capcom had no idea what they were doing, so they just took a bunch of stuff from old games, combined it with a bunch of new stuff, like just shotgun blasted everything they possibly could. And I just don't think it works. I think
it's the best of all worlds. Good point, Craig.
No, it's like making a cake and throwing on pork chops and like
Yum.
Orange
that
juice.
That sounds delicious.
It's almost as delicious as playing one of the Oracle games. So I just throw everything in my kitchen on top of it. And no, it's just not a focused like crafted game.
You've sold me, Craig. These games are awesome. I agree.
Well, whatever. I think Minish Cap is a far superior game.
Minish Cap is kind of boring. I like them. I haven't played them since, and I'm giving like Craig a lot of shit right now, but I haven't played them since I came out, so like my opinions are probably clouded by, you know, time, mostly. But I remember liking them a lot when I played them.
Yeah, I did too. It wasn't until much later where I was like, holy shit. There's a lot of garbage in these games.
You became jaded and just started hating everything. As for the question, I remember liking Ages a lot better than Seasons.
Yep.
So I prefer playing Seasons first and then just going out with Ages because I think it's the better game.
Yeah, I preferred Ages as well. Have you played these, Hugh?
No, I haven't played them, so I was just listening to you guys.
Okay. Right on. Do you have intention to play them now that they are...
Oh, yeah. I love the sound of a cake with a steak on it. So.
Those pork chops.
I'm so ashamed.
Right. What is Azam doing here? He says, I love TV Lust in Japanese. I don't know what he's doing.
Well, he almost
did. Did he register tvlust.co.jp?
That's what it looks like.
He can have it. Like, I don't care.
I'm pretty sure they don't usually have co, but...
No. And then Francois says a bunch of stuff I'm not reading on the air about testicles. So let's talk about some games I've been playing lately.
All right.
So I was going to talk about Blood Dragon Gianna Sisters, but clearly that's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I really haven't played too much new, but I did sit down and play some of my original Xbox. I sat down, I played some Outrun 2. Either of you played Outrun 2?
I played it at E3 in 2004. That's all
it. It's mad cheap on the Xbox. I really like it. Have you played it, Hugh?
No, but I've heard really good things. I want to get it.
It's you know, it's just like classic Sega arcade, like the music, the visuals, you know, the feeling, if you will, that it evokes. It's a lot of fun. I'm very bad at it, but you know, it's a checkpoint racer, and even following the easy track, I can't get to the end. There's this really interesting mode called Heartbreak Mode, where like you get your girl in the car, and she'll tell you to like dodge, weave through traffic, and she'll shoot up hearts, or like power slide around a corner, or you know, ride in a specific part of like the road or something like that, and you'll get hearts for doing that, and you get ranked, which is pretty interesting. But the game is
She sounds like an awful person who's taking advantage of
you. Yeah, and if you fail, like, she starts beating the hell out of you in the car. Like,
what? Yeah. That is an abusive relationship right there.
It is abusive, it is. I also played Raises Hell, which is, it sounds like Raises Hell, but it's R-A-Z-E apostrophe S Hell, so it's Raise, and this is his hell. So, this turned some conventions on its head, where there's a bunch of cute, cuddly, like, teddy bears, and they're the bad guys. They're trying to cutify this village of evil, ugly, demon things, which are just living peacefully in this village. And they come in, and they just kill everything. And you play as Raze, and you get some mystical power or whatever to fight off the teddy bears. So you have, like, melee attacks and different kinds of range attacks and stuff. And so, basically, it's like a third-person action or shooter game, and you get, like, objectives of shut down this generator or whatever. And you kill all these fucking teddy bears, and then you eat them to regain health. You know, it has some of that, you know, the level design seems a little primitive. You know, it's definitely sixth-generation level design, that's for sure. But it's actually a fun game, and it's nice that it turns some of those conventions around, I guess, makes the game a little more enjoyable.
I've never even heard of this, and
it's kind of it has its own little like cult following. Like there are a lot of people who really seem to enjoy it. It's
I can't see I can easily see why Majesco went out of business. Like I like a lot of their games they put out, but man,
it's just,
I don't know
who
they're
expecting.
Yeah, I don't know who they're trying to sell these to.
Yeah. No, it's actually a pretty neat game. I mean, I'm not describing with any amount of enthusiasm because, you know, it's been surpassed. It's been out for a while. But it's still a really enjoyable game. I mean, it doesn't cost a lot, and it's worth checking out. That sounds interesting. If you like these, you know, third-person action games from that era, it's actually not that bad. And I also played some Time Splitters 2, and that game holds up remarkably well. Like, it's easy to say, like, oh, yeah, I love Time Splitters 2. What a fantastic game. And then the last time you played it was, like, 10 years ago. But a lot of that game really does, like, graphically, like, the level design, a lot of that really holds up really well. We don't have first-person shooters like Time Splitters, or like Perfect Dark or GoldenEye. They're very similar, and where you have these levels that are sort of open-ish, and then you have objectives to complete with them. I mean, there's a linear progression to it, but you can kind of go back and forth and walk around and explore. We don't really have that.
What I love about the game is, just like with the like GoldenEye and stuff and Perfect Dark, when you change the difficulty level, you get like different objectives. You get more objectives.
I was going to say the same thing. Yeah. I love that about those games. Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Really cool. One thing though that because when I first started playing it, I was not doing so well because the aiming is almost like a digitized version of like GoldenEye and Perfect Dark's like aiming. Which is, I mean, the same people worked on all those games, so you're like, oh, that makes sense, but, you know, this even came out, I mean, Tempest Shoot even came out after Halo. There's some advancements made in analog, you know, dual analog aiming. This just doesn't feel right. There's some cumbersomeness to it, and, you know, so I wasn't playing so well, and, so I died, and I was near the end. I died on the first mission, and I was near the end, but I died, and then I had to go back, and basically the checkpoint I had was, like, I just had, it was, like, one objective completed. And I'm like, that's some really bad checkpointing. Like, I pretty much had to replay the entire, like, level. Not quite, but really, really close. So it definitely does not have very good checkpointing. Because, I mean, modern games, they're much more linear, and, you know, their difficulty comes from, like, oh, let's throw a bunch of horse shit at you all at once and see if you can survive it. Is this enough polygons for you? Die. And so that's what you have to survive, you know. That's the Call of Duty and stuff, like that's, you know, monster closets or whatever. And then in a game like Time Splitters 2, it's a matter of you know, it's not so much surviving waves of enemies, although sometimes those games have that as well. It's a matter of completing all the objectives and making it through levels, you know, these missions that are a bit longer than your standard mission in maybe modern games. And so they have their difficulty skewed in different ways, but the checkpointing just isn't there in Time Splitters 2. It makes it kind of rough. But it's still a fun game, and I would love to see like a Time Splitters like HD trilogy collection. If we're not going to get a fourth game anyway, it'd be really nice to see like an HD collection or something, because they do. Time Splitters 2 holds up really well.
Are the other Time Splitters games good? Because I've only ever played 2, so I was just wondering.
2 and 3 are great. The first one I have not played. I own it, but it's only on PlayStation 2. Whereas the other two were on all 3 platforms, and maybe even PC, I don't know. The first one is not as good. I only played a little bit of it. Because I played it after I played 2 and 3, so it's a little harder to go back, I think. But it's still good. I mean, it fits together, but... 2 and 3 are fantastic.
3 is that Future Perfect or something, is it?
Yes, yes.
Okay, cool. I'll pick that up then.
And that's about it. That's all I got playing. What about you, Hugh?
Like I said before, I haven't been playing much because I've got lots of like uni assignments and browsing the internet to do. So, but I played Starship Damrae on your recommendation, and I really liked the story, but I wasn't too huge on the gameplay. I felt like, you know, like the very start sort of set it up, it's like, you know, we're not going to tell you anything because you're going to have to figure it out for yourself, but the gameplay didn't really amount to much more than just sort of like clicking on stuff. Like there was nothing that needed to be like worked out for yourself, because it was pretty like standard fare adventure stuff.
Yeah,
I
didn't make a big deal out about that.
They're like, I don't know. And then also how at the start it's like, we want you to have your headphones on at all times because, you know, the sound is a pivotal part of the experience. But I found for, like, a lot of the game, all you were hearing was...
Yeah.
And, like...
No, they said that, and I'm just, like, oh, there's nothing
It's
here.
Just those fucking leeches. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
The leeches are the only thing you need the sound for.
Oh, and I mean, there's the occasional like sort of shock scare and stuff. I don't want to really like divulge into too far into the game, like without spoiling it or anything.
They definitely like overbuilt the game, like in those opening lines themselves.
Yeah,
yes.
So I was expecting something very different from what I actually got, but I still enjoyed the game.
Fair enough.
I recently bought Shin Megami Tensei 4 and Resident Evil Revelations for Wii U. So I played a bit of each of them. With Revelations, I really only got as far as I did in the 3DS game, which is not far at all. I just, did that fit, you know, when you're, like, first on the boat, and then you get to the beach level, and I'm like, yeah, wow, this game's really cool. I can't wait to get back into it. And then I just never played it again. with the Wii U, I have, like, an intention to actually complete the game for once. And it's cool, because, I've got a Japanese Wii U, and with Resident Evil Revelations, you know, you've got all the language options there, so I could just put on English subtitles and stuff, and you even got the English voice track there as well if you want that. So
Capcom's really good with including the language options in their games. I'm really hoping that they're there in Ace Attorney 5. Is Ace Attorney 5 out in Japan yet?
Not yet. It comes out in July sometime, yeah. I doubt it will.
I know. I mean, it's region locked, so I know there's like no reason to do it, but I don't know. For some reason, I'm just holding out hope. Like,
the English option in the first 3 DS games in Japan was really just an incentive to like rebuy it again because originally, you know, the Ace Attorney games had come out on Game Boy Advance.
Mm-hmm.
Like with the fourth game and then those the Miles Edgeworth ones. What are they called?
Ace Attorney Investigations.
Yeah. With those ones, they didn't have the English. They didn't have English subtitles included. So yeah, that sucks.
They did. They put them in Okami HD though. Those have.
They did. But I think from what I heard, they did that with the PS2 version as well. I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know, because you know there were like before buying the HD edition. I was trying to find out, you know, if the retail version had English or not, and there were all sorts of like, you know, conflicted reports and stuff from people. Mm-hmm. It was pretty vague, but yeah, no, that'd be really cool if the fifth game had English subtitles, but it's not.
Nah, it's not. Yeah, I hope that the Dungeons & Dragons collection that's coming out has them, though, because that's getting a disc release. It has, like, a whole special edition release in Japan. But
yeah, I've got that pre-ordered, that silly box set. It looks cool. Yeah. I don't even like Dungeons & Dragons, but the game looks fun. Right.
The games are really fun. I don't even know what the hell Dungeons & Dragons is. I know it's like a pen and paper. Who cares? The games are nothing like that.
Yeah, it's just a beat 'em up. It's just like, it's only got name connection alone,
yep.
I guess.
Yep.
Yeah. And then, I mean, yeah, I played some Shin Megami Tensei 4, but because I'm not cut out for this game because the Japanese is so verbose
so much text, man. I can't do it.
You know, yeah, it's meant to be for people who are on, you know, our, you know, it's meant, you know, you're meant to be playing with Japanese as your first language. So they're expecting you to be like the same age as we are right now, reading Japanese intended for that level. It's just so hard.
It is.
But luckily it's got furigana on top of all the kanji, so that makes trying to figure out what each word is a little bit easier.
Yep.
Which is strange for a game like, you know, a CROC rated game to have like furigana, since that's really meant to be more for like children and stuff, right?
That's my understanding, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm happy with that, but it's still a really, it's really slow work for me to get through all that dialogue. And of course, you know, the beginning of all RPGs, you know, they're always talking and talking and talking. But yeah.
Yeah.
Once I finally did get to like the you know, the first dungeon, and I only did a few of the tutorial things, so it was pretty cool stuff. So I'm looking forward to play some more of that.
Yeah, I played very little of it, but it's a super pretty game, I can tell you
that. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And the start's really creepy too, like, yes. You know?
Yep.
How far exactly did you get?
Basically right through that start. That's about it. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to play this in English.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yep. I mean, the English for the American release is, I mean, it's literally next month, so.
Oh, wow.
I'll wait. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, at least you've got a really cool 3DS out of it.
Exactly.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, that's all for me.
What about you, Sif?
I've been playing some Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D.
Are you playing? You're not playing Babby Mode, are you?
I'm not playing Babby Mode because, you know, I'm a man.
I'm only one of the three of us playing Babby Mode. Whatever.
Is that what it's called in the game or something? Because you guys were saying this last week.
No, it's just, what is it called in this game?
I think it's called, is it called like New Mode or something like
new
that?
New Mode. That sounds
so
right.
Why do you guys keep saying Babby Mode?
We say Babby because we're just awful.
Yeah, but yeah, we're saying Babby, but yeah, it's Babby because it adds one more hit to your life meter, and it gives you access to items in the shop that can make some of the one hit death scenarios a little bit easier. Because there's a lot of one hit scenarios. I mean, that's probably my only complaint about the game. Like, I think it's just too many of them. Like, you get one hit in a minecart, you're dead. One hit on a rocket barrel, you're dead. Some, like, there's one level where there's tidal waves coming in from the background that push into the foreground of the screen. You get hit by that, you're dead. There's just a lot of one-hit scenarios. And actually, I haven't used any of the items that spare me from the one-hit deaths. I haven't used any of those. Basically, I've just used, you know, obviously the extra hit that you get by default. But I haven't used, what is it, green balloons or something like that. I haven't used them at all. So the game has been a little bit easier for me, obviously, because I can take one hit. But I'm still dying like crazy. There's one level where you're on a rocket barrel and you're being chased by the fucking bat shooting sonic waves at you. Fucking bullshit, man. That's fucked. But I probably blew through like 20 lives doing that because I'm not using any items that spare me from that, so.
I'm finding that I'm just like stocking up on lives like crazy. Like,
I'm in the third
world right now. I got like 80 something lives. I mean, I've been dying a lot, but there's just so many bananas in this game that it's bananas.
It's bananas.
It's bananas.
And I have so much, and I have so much money on top of that I'm just buying lives. Like, yeah, maybe I'll need these later.
Yeah. Like, even when you die, like, the banana coins respawn, so you just get tons of those as well.
Yeah, you get to keep what you already collected, and you get to collect the ones that respawn. It's great.
Yep. I think it translated to the 3DS, like, really, really damn good. There's a few problems I have on it, like some of the sections where you blast into the background, but the camera doesn't pan as well. You are just like really tiny back there. You're like a few pixels big platforming around.
Yeah, a lot of people had a problem. I haven't experienced a problem with that. That hasn't bothered me, but I understand the complaint. You are pretty small when you're back there.
Yep. Would it be alleviated with the XL?
That might be, that might be the case, yeah, because I am playing on an XL, so yeah, it might be a bit easier for me, yeah.
You'd be larger pixels, that's for sure. And for, I don't know why you can't use the, like, D-pad and circle pad at the same time.
Yeah, you can't use the D-pad. I don't understand that.
Like, you could use it in options. You could go to options and, like, switch to D-pad mode. But then it, like, changes the buttons on you as well.
Like,
instead of, yeah, instead of, like, grabbing and climbing with R and rolling with Y, it, like, switches that around. Like, you roll with the shoulder buttons and then cling with the Y button. And I'm just like, why? Why switch the buttons around when you switch from D-pad to circle pad? Doesn't make any sense to me.
Nope.
I don't know. I don't know why I can't just use both at the same time. Just whatever I please.
It's just that little bit more comfortable.
Yeah. I was talking to Hugh like right before we were podcasting. He decided that Retro did some work and figured out that when you're D-pad, when you're using the thumb. On the D-pad, it's just an inch lower. It's just a lot more comfortable.
That's what I was thinking too when you were describing that. That perhaps they did some internal tests and found that it wasn't as comfortable with the buttons in the same spot, but using the D-pad. So, I mean, they could have alleviated that by making those assignable by you. You know, manually assigning the buttons if you wanted, and you could come up with your own comfortable scheme rather than forcing it.
Yeah, like waggling to roll.
Speaking of which, the pounding and the rolling and the blowing, I think that's all a lot better with the button.
Oh, God, a million times better. So good.
I don't know, about a million times better.
Okay, some magnitude.
It's definitely better. The ending, like, if you get a DK at the ending barrel, though, I think that's a lot more fun to pound with the motion controls than it is just to mash that button.
I hadn't considered that. Maybe.
What else about that game? I don't know. No, it's really good. It's really good on
3DS. Does the frame rate bother you? The lower frame rate?
I notice it. I mean, I feel like it. You said it was locked at 30, Craig. I feel like it dips here and there.
Oh, really? I haven't noticed that, but fair enough.
But not really. Honestly, I'm not a frame rate whore. I know a lot of people are like really big on the frame rates, but I feel like I grew up in an era where like frame rates were all over the place anyways, from like NES to Super Nintendo to especially the first 3D era, that it does not even bother me in the slightest.
Yeah, people are like, oh, there's frame rate dips. I'm thinking of playing some game on the NES where the sprites are flickering and can barely move, and I'm like, that's a frame rate dip. Like,
the music slows down.
You get these people that only know the frame rate's dipping because they have a freaking frame rate counter in the corner on their PC, and that's the only way they even notice. Oh, man, it went down 3 frames. It's terrible. You know?
No, but... Yeah, I notice it here and there, but yeah. it doesn't bug me.
I imagine. I mean, I'm being sarcastic. I imagine it affects people differently. Like, I can't stand screen tearing. You know, like that to me is way more noticeable than the slight frame rate dips we've been getting this generation. Like, I feel like frame rates have to be like crazy low for me to care. But then again, like screen tearing, like that'll suck me right the fuck out of the game super quick.
And once again, I don't care about screen tearing. I don't think I'm picky at all.
I'm not that picky either. I play games with it. I would have to rule out a lot of games otherwise if I didn't.
And I know some people that are like that. They're like, oh, frame rate's 30. I'm not playing this.
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that.
It's weird. It's weird to me.
I mean, the game would have to basically be like a technological piece of shit for me not to play it. Mass Effect. That's where you had to put.
Yeah, that first game is like pretty low in the Citadel. No, wait.
No, the first game runs like crap on the 360.
Yeah, that's right. No, okay.
I also been playing. I started up Contra 3 for Super Nintendo, and that game has really bad frame rate. By the way, you get some enemies in that on that screen, and then it drops. I only played 3 levels in because I was not digging this game.
I've never played it.
Which is weird. I love Contra games. I've played, 5, 6 other ones, and I love every single one. I'm not feeling this one, and it bums me out that I'm not liking it. Like, the music isn't doing it for me. The level design's not doing it for me.
Yeah.
Just the... Why the control? I don't know. There's some top down levels which I hate. Like you go like regular side scrolling shooting levels. Second level is a top down level, and it's weird because you have to rotate the way your character's facing with the shoulder buttons. I guess you're always facing up, so technically I guess you're like rotating the world using their fancy mode 7 with the shoulder buttons.
Oh, that's
so
strange.
Yeah, it's really weird to play. And then the boss on that level is just so damn poorly designed because, like, once you, like, shoot off all its legs or whatever, it's a big spider-looking thing. It starts like, jumping into the air, once again showing off the Mode 7 giant sprite thing going on while it flies up at the screen. And then, like, when it lands, though, it just lands in a random pattern, but you don't move fast, but you could only shoot it in its head. And it's only down on the ground for, like, 2 seconds, and the majority of the time you're not anywhere where you could shoot its head, and then it's already back up in the air. So you just gotta like run around and just wait forever till you could actually shoot this stupid thing, and then by the time you are able to shoot it, it's just jumping back in the air, and I just hated that. It was just awful, awful boss design, especially coming from a Contra game, which usually has such damn good boss designs. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not feeling the game. Well, I feel like Contra Rebirth on WiiWare is like a much better Super Nintendo Contra game than the actual one that's on Super Nintendo.
I never played either of those.
Rebirth, I recommend. It's damn good.
I played one Super C, Operation C, and 4.
What is Operation C?
That's a Game Boy one.
Ah, I see. Yeah, I never played that. I played one Super C, which is the second, freaking 4, whatever is the good one on PS2.
Shattered Soldier.
Actually, I've heard really good stuff about Neo Contra 2 lately.
I have. Somebody recommended Neo Contra to me, but they told me like the entire game was like an overhead shooter.
I'm not
big on. I don't like the overhead sections in, because even Super C on NES had like the overhead sections.
I don't like them either.
And I'm not big. I much prefer like for the breakup. I prefer the shooting gallery type things like in the first game and in Contra 4, where you're shooting forward. I guess
just pretend as a shmup.
But they move slow. They move so slow because they're just running around, dude. and the one on PSN and Xbox Live Arcade, the spinoff. Contra Hardcore. No, it's not Contra Hardcore. It's a Genesis game. Hardcore Uprising. That one's really, really damn good as well. But no, yeah, I'm not big on the Super Nintendo one. Yeah. And that's all I've been playing.
All right. Well, then we should wrap up this episode because I have to go to work. Do you guys have anything you'd like to add?
Nope. Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you for being on. It's great. I'm glad it's a holiday in New Zealand. A holiday you aren't even really aware of, so. I'm glad that worked out. So, thank you for being on, Hugh.
Thank you.
And I want to thank everyone for listening, and until next time, you guys take it easy.
Everyone but the Nicaraguans.